Well, hey everybody, welcome to our online service. We are so honored that you have decided to spend this time with us whenever you might be enjoying this service. My name is Josh Erickson, and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, and I'm so grateful to be here with you. Like we've said a couple times recently, if you are interested in subscribing to our YouTube channel, we'll hope you do that, and even consider clicking that bell so you get reminders about what's going on our YouTube channel. Well, today we're going to continue our exploration of this book of Ruth as we try to capture a counter vision for what life could look like when life around us is so difficult, and an inspirational thought for us all as we try to go forward every day of our lives. Well, if you joined us for our previous online service, you'll know that we're taking a look at this beautiful story in the book of Ruth. And if you have an opportunity to go back and check out the first message in this series, I hope you'll do that. It'll give you a little more context for what this story is all about and how we're encountering it together. But to summarize just a little bit about this is we have this beautiful story of this journey that Ruth and Naomi were going through that's recounted and accounted for in the book of Ruth, which is one of the Old Testament books of the Bible. In the Old Testament, it's preceded by this book of Judges, which is a book that tells the story of the storming and norming of the nation of Israel as they were going from sort of the smaller tribe, a group of people, and trying to forming and storming their way to become a nation and all of the struggles they went through. There are so many horrible and interesting and challenging and mind-numbing stories in the book of Judges that sound a lot like the headlines of our day. And when we are confronted with the stories of Judges or the headlines or the breaking news of our world today, we might struggle with that and need a counter vision for what that looks like. And we find that in the book of Ruth. It's intentionally put there, in our case, in the Christian Bibles to follow up Judges so people have hope for what it looks like to move forward. In our first week, we look at what it means for us to understand that God calls us to have a mutual relationship of mutual sacrifice with people in our lives, and that's the best kind of relationship that we have with one another. It's good, like Naomi did, willing to sacrifice for others, but it's best when we're able to do it in a mutual way, knowing that when you give and I give, we give together and we survive and thrive in that way. Because if I just give, at some point I'll have nothing left. Or if you just give, you'll just have nothing left. But if we give to each other, and both individually, collectively, and as a human race, we take care of each other in the best way. Now, the story of Ruth continues as we move forward, and remember that Ruth is a single woman at this point who is traveling in the ancient world with her mother-in-law of her deceased husband. And their great hope, moving back from the land of Moab to the hometown area of Bethlehem, which is Naomi's hometown, that they can come back, and the best thing that could happen is that Ruth would meet a man who she could marry, and they would be safe and secure again. It's not a good thing, but the reality back then was the only way that a woman was safe is if she married into a family and that family took care of her and protected her. And in this particular case, it would also include Naomi as a part of this as well. So remember, part of the story is that they were escaping from a famine in Moab, also the loss of the husband of both ladies, and they were coming back to the land and they were just surviving on whatever they could do. And of course, if you're surviving on whatever you could do, you're at the mercy of strangers around you. Now, one of the customs of ancient Israel was to take care of people who were in need and make sure that they had an opportunity to be fed. And what's a beautiful thing about the way Israel did this was they had a practice with their farming, that they had a covenant agreement that they had with God, that they would not harvest every single piece of the crop of their field. We catch up with this in Deuteronomy chapter 24, as we would think of it. But Deuteronomy is one of the books of the Torah of the people of Israel. And it was something that was recorded later, but was a value structure that would have been around for a very long time. And in Deuteronomy, there's a commandment there of sorts, not a Ten Commandment, but a very important one that says, if you're harvesting your wheat, your grain, your olives or your grapes, you are to go and to do one pass through your fields, but don't do a second. Because whatever you leave behind should be left behind for those who are in need, so that they might go behind and collect the grain and the grapes and the olives or whatever it is in that field. And so the story of Ruth counts on this. So Ruth and Naomi find themselves needing food. And Ruth listens to Naomi, who says, hey, I have some extended family members who have some fields, and we should go there and collect the food from those fields. And at first, they just go randomly and sort of collect from any field. But then Naomi has a thought. Well, why don't you go to my extended family member's field, Boaz? Ruth, just so you know, Boaz is a single, eligible man who you might want to get to know or be noticed by. And Ruth listens to her mother-in-law because they are depending on each other. And after a few times of going to just any field, she finds her way to the field of Boaz. And what they find there is that Boaz, as the good, faithful person that he is, has left behind in his field some of his crops. And she goes and collects the crops. And of course, in the midst of this is the beginning of Boaz noticing Ruth. Now, the rest of the story of Ruth and Boaz will come as we wrap up our series next time when we gather for our online service. But I want to dial in a little bit further this situation that Naomi and Ruth found themselves in, and how important it was that Boaz listened to the way of faith and love at that time. Naomi and Ruth were desperate. They had no choice but to rely on the random generosity of strangers and the hoped generosity of some extended family members in their case. And what they were counting on was that the people of Israel would be willing to take care of people that they didn't know, take care of resident aliens, people that had come in, and foreigners. The part of Deuteronomy that talks about this, they don't distinguish between who can get at some of this food and who can't. It's available to anybody who's there. And they're depending on people to do the right thing at the right time so that they can survive. And as it happens, the beautiful thing is that the right thing happens by good people at the right time they need it. Boaz could have been selfish. All the other people, all the other farmers, all the other gatherers could have been selfish, and they could have taken everything for themselves. But that's not what God wants as we think about taking care of people in need. God does not want us to collect everything that we have so there's nothing left for anybody else. Rather, God is calling us to make sure that we take care of those people who are vulnerable. And in the story of Ruth, it meant that there was food for her to collect. And Boaz and his family are lifted up as being virtuous and faithful at this time. And that's the countervision for what was going on otherwise. Otherwise, you saw in the book of Judges, and you see at other times where there's an exhibition of might makes right, and we know that's not how it really works, because when we do might makes right, it just makes the mighty even righter, and the other people less mighty, less fortunate. But what happens then is because of this, Ruth and Naomi survive. They have food, and they have an opportunity to be able to then move on in their lives. And that's what we want to be able to do as followers of Jesus, is to hear that God is calling us to make sure that people who are vulnerable and people who are disadvantaged have what they need to survive. That's the vision that God has for us when God talks about caring for those in need. That's the vision that God has for us for people who are food insecure. God doesn't want it to be that way. God's vision for people who don't have food is that they would have something to eat. For people that don't have proper housing or proper clothing or proper employment even, that there would be a means and an opportunity for them to find that. And God is counting on the people of faith, followers of Jesus, and people who just care about others to do what's right so that people who need those things have what they need to survive. Because the alternative is that we keep everything for ourselves and we keep what we don't even need. And that's one of the great challenges of our world in our modern age, is that when we take everything we need, we have excess and we have more and we keep it for ourselves. And when we keep too much, we don't even use it. Now, this is a little bit of a trite example, I realize, but how many times have you collected leftovers from a meal, you put it in a container, and then you just find yourself throwing it out a few days later because you forget about it or don't get to it, or your husband forgets to take the lunch that his wife prepared for him the next day? I don't know anything about that last situation. I'll just put it out there. But what happens is that the excess just becomes waste. Now, okay, when it comes to a little bit of leftovers, no one is going to go hungry over a little bit of leftovers. But when we take that principle and zoom out, we understand the vulnerability of many people. When people who have more than they need don't take care of those who have less than they need, that's a vision for failing humanity. But when people who have what they need are willing to care for those so that they have what they need to survive and eventually thrive, that's the counter vision that God has for our world today too. So when we think about making sure that we are providing for people who are in need, if you're a follower of Jesus, every one of us is called to do our part in this journey. If you are just someone who cares about other people, you should do your part too. But if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a person of faith, it's not optional, it's essential to our faith. Which is why it's so important that each one of us make sure that we are contributing to our church, whether it's volunteering or giving or serving, to serve the greater purposes of God's call on the church, which is also, amongst many things, to make sure people have what they need to survive. There's one of the most famous passages in Scripture that is often talked about when we think about caring for people in need is this story of Matthew 25. And it's a very complicated passage that comes to us in the Gospel of Matthew, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels in the New Testament, the good news of Jesus. And in Matthew 25, Jesus recounts the very chilling call that whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. What Jesus said in particular there was, what you do to feed those who are hungry, it's the same thing you do to Jesus. What you do to help those who are in prison, who those who lack clothing, who those lack whatever they need to survive based on where they live, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me as well. And Jesus reminds us that followers of his way and people of faith are called to help those in need. And that's the counter vision that God has for us when that is not happening around us. And so I want to encourage us to remember that if we're already doing this, that we would need to keep doing this. If we are wondering if we're doing enough, then we can ask, can I do a little bit more? But there are going to be some people who are hearing this maybe clearly for the first time, that you need to take another step towards helping somebody who doesn't have enough food, who doesn't have enough clothing, who doesn't have enough shelter, or doesn't have enough employment to survive in the world today. And we want to close that gap because God's vision for our world is not just that people would survive, but to thrive. And we want to be the people that help that happen. Just like Boaz was willing to be faithful and leave what he knew belonged to others, we want to be faithful as well and give of ourselves to others so that they might thrive in their lives as well. God is counting on us to do our part to help this be the vision that comes true for the world. So let's embrace what our next step is to help this happen as best we can. Would you please pray with me? Holy God, we know that you are the one who calls us to greater action and greater compassion. And God, as we think about being people of greater action for those who are in need, help us to be people who are also having greater compassion for the people in those circumstances. God, we know there are people who do not have enough food, do not have enough clothing, shelter, or even specifically employment in these days. And God, we ask that you help us to do what you call us to do to make sure that this is not true as best we can. God, we thank you that you have given us a counter vision to the struggle around us and help us to embrace the vision that you have that all people might survive and thrive in our world today. And Holy God, we ask you help us each to take whatever next step we need to take. If we are doing what we can, God, help us to keep doing that. If we think we could do a little more, God, help us to do a little more. If we need to begin a journey of helping those in need, God, help us to have that next step in mind. Gracious God, we pray over those who are doing this direct work to help people who are struggling in these ways. And we ask that you help us to find ways to come alongside those brave souls, those faithful people who are doing the work in the trenches in important ways. God, we thank you that you have called us into relationship with you and a relationship with others where we meet their needs as best we can. We pray this in your name. Amen.